Now, back to a couple of guys who believe Rin Tin Tin may have rusted to death. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us on the line for this segment, Dr. Pat LeBlanc, who you may know him as the director of the MSU Veterinary Teaching Hospital. But what you may not know about him is he's also board certified as a veterinary anesthesiologist. And more importantly, he was a former cheerleading captain for MSU. I mean, if you can't cheer for that, then what can you cheer for?
I'm with you on that one.
Dr. LeBlanc, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Lee, for that wonderful introduction. I'm not sure the cheerleading is more important, but I certainly had a lot of fun with that.
Well, it's something that we have fun with because we believe that pet keeping is a love of animals, and it brings out a passion in human beings. And I would just imagine that cheerleading does much the same thing.
Well, it's helpful to be passionate about things, and I'm certainly passionate about Michigan State, whether it's the athletics or our wonderful College of Veterinary Medicine.
Well, and that's where we want to start the discussion, Dr. LeBlanc. For most people who they've heard of the MSU Vet School, but I don't think they quite understand just how world-renowned of an institution it is. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about the program?
Well, we are one of 28 Colleges of Veterinary Medicine in North America. And we're regarded as one of the best, you know, and I personally think we are the best. Again, I'm biased, but we're rated high in a lot of things. Our students do well on, you know, in practice. Our program's a little bit unique from some of the other schools in that our students are actually in the clinic for a year and a half instead of just 1 year. And so they get an extra 6 months of clinical experience. And that's a unique twist that we have here at Michigan State. Also, we're one of only one other vet school of the 28 has a veterinary technology program in the college. So our students work hand in hand, our veterinary students work hand in hand with the veterinary technician students. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with what a veterinary technician is, that's like a nurse, basically comparable to a nurse, but only for animals. And so they both benefit from that program of being together with us.
And it probably gives anybody that's really passionate about pets, it gives them more avenues to take. You know, probably you have some students that you kind of guide into technician and others that you guide into veterinary practice. Is that true?
That's very true, Rick. And sometimes we have students who have actually gone through the veterinary technician program who then subsequently turn around and go to veterinary school.
Awesome. Awesome. Boy, that has to make a fantastic vet as well, probably far more empathetic to the people around them.
Yeah. All of our students are empathetic, but yeah, that's an added twist that helps.
Dr. LeBlanc, when it comes to people wanting to do this, we were talking before the show that if you find a room of 10 to 12-year-olds and you ask them what they want to be when they grow up, it used to be a generation ago that it was a fireman or a policeman, and now they all seem to want to be veterinarians. Why do you think that is? Why has your profession grown in popularity so much for younger people?
You know, and that is so true, Lee. We have a program called Vet-A-Visit, which we put on in the spring, and which allows young kids to kind of come through the college and learn about veterinary medicine and all the different careers that you can explore in veterinary medicine. And, you know, we're pushing 5,000 people coming through that thing. So it's amazing how many people want to pursue careers working with animals. And I would invite your listeners to check that out on our website. But the Vet-A-Visit program is a visual manifestation of how passionate people are about this career.
Well, and I know that my partner in the studio, Rick Pruse, isn't opposed to lots of people wanting to work with animals because bottom line is that's what he looks for all the time as well.
Yeah.
What's going on in the MSU vet program as technology is changing and the information is changing and the new age? How is that changing the whole concept of veterinary medicine?
Well, people are becoming more and more, the human-animal bond is becoming more and more important to people. So it's the measures that people will commit to for their animals nowadays is way more than what it was when I was a veterinary student when I graduated in 1982. People are just willing to to do all kinds of stuff for their animals because their animal's part of their family. Mm-hmm. You know, the animal sleeps in bed with them, and that was unheard of when I was a kid. So
sure. And we had Derek Nolan from Cedar Creek Veterinary Clinic, and their whole practice is involved, you know, with a practice that 20 years, 30 years ago, you would never have thought of even possible. People passionate about reptiles or small animals.
Exactly. Well, I mean, just today, I can tell you, we've got a case here came in from Canada because we're able to do a procedure here that very few places in the country can do. And this guy came in, and he's all excited about Michigan State, and he's telling all of his friends in Canada all about this, how we're doing this non-invasive correction of a shunt within the dog's liver. We can do it without making an incision, just basically making a cut in the jugular vein and fishing putting catheters into the shunt area and occluding it. In the past, we used to make a whole big incision in the dog, cut them wide open from basically chin to tail, and try to find the little shunt in the liver and tie it off with suture. Now we just do it with a little cut through the jugular vein, and the dog will go home either tonight or tomorrow.
You don't think about that. You think about MSU and training individuals to be vets, but look at this. We have, you know, the whole procedure of what now hundreds of veterinarians eventually will be doing just because of pioneer procedures that are taught right there at Michigan State University.
Yeah, we'll be the leader, and we are the leader in this. And the problem is, though, for example, these coils that we put in a dog like this, they will cost us a lot of money. So it's not the kind of thing that's affordable for a lot of people. These coils, just for our cost, are about $1,000.
Wow. Yeah.
So hopefully there'll be some manufacturing company that will come along and manufacture these things for animals that'll be less expensive. Because currently we're buying the human preparation ones, and those are, you know, almost prohibitively expensive.
Wow, fascinating. So we're discovering where the new industries need to go in order to supply all of these new techniques that you're bringing. My question to you is, how do you make sure that all of the vets who have gone through the program are staying up on all of these current programs? Is there an ongoing accreditation that the vets need to go through in order to keep up with these changes?
Well, Lee, that's a good question. Michigan does not have continuing education requirements for its veterinarians, and it's almost that's tragic, really. The state should require that. That being said, most of our veterinarians in the state do go to continuing education programs. There's a large conference in January that we're very involved with. The College of Veterinary Medicine is. It's down at the Lansing Center. But there is no requirements in our state for veterinarians to meet CE credits.
One question I have is, you've got young kids and maybe teenagers that are thinking about their passion for pets and are smart kids. What kind of pathways in front of them do they have? We think of a dog and cat veterinarian. We think of large animal veterinarian, but maybe some of the other dimensions that they might be able to go into above and beyond those obvious. Can you maybe help us out there?
Well, sure, Rick. Most of our students do go into private practice. I think we're around somewhere between 75 to 80% of our students do go into private practice. But, you know, that means quite a few go into alternative careers, and some of those include academic pursuits, you know, to then further their career in research. Some people go into public service. You can work for the government, or you can work in the military. We have people stationed in Iraq and Afghanistan who are officers in the military taking care of their animals. There's people going to pathology, which is sort of like doing the study of animal tissues and things like that. There's quite a few careers in this profession.
We've been talking this morning with Dr. Pat LeBlanc from the Michigan State MSU Veterinary Teaching Hospital. Dr. LeBlanc, I'm sorry to say we've run into our usual problem, which is too many questions and not enough time. So I hope to have you back on the show at some point down the road. But thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
Lee, I'd love to come back. So invite me again, and we can end it up with a go green, go white.
Well, give us a go green, go white.
Go green.
go white.
Go white. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. LeBlanc. We appreciate it. Rick, we've had just a fascinating show today in understanding the whole concept of the different kinds of vets that are out there. For anyone who missed the show or didn't get a chance to hear it or wants to hear it again, we encourage you to go to our website at www.1320wils.com, where you can listen to our previous shows or listen to the segments of this show, and you can listen to the radio station live online. We also would encourage you to send us an email at mmpets@1320wils.com, or to check us out on Facebook, where we seem to have just a vastly growing group of friends, and we appreciate that very much. On behalf of our producers, Scott Holliday and Holly Rotter, and for my partner, Rick Pruce, this is Lee Cohen saying, everybody have a great week, and please take darn, darn care of your pets. We'll see you next week, everybody, at the Humane Society Big Fundraiser. Have a great week. Bye-bye.